Welcome to Snap Talk. I'm Venetia Butler. In a world on autopilot, this podcast empowers you to embrace your agency.
It's so good to have you.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you very much for the invitation.
And also to meet the person behind the Teams calls. I don't know about you, but I've always experienced that when you actually meet someone in person, there's a different level of authenticity to the engagement.
Totally. Absolutely. And it's so nice. Exactly. Because you're like, who's this person going to be? You actually feel their energy and kind of step into it. And it's delightful to meet you.
Cape Tonian in the house, for those wondering, who's come all the way to Johannesburg to share this with us. So we are very grateful.
And I am having such an amazing time. I must just say, every time I come up to Joburg, I'm just more and more impressed. The people here are so wonderful. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Shout out for the Johannesburg energy, right? I don't know about you, but I find we really try our best to bring it. So in the interest of all things finance, I think let's start by you telling us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What is your background? Let's start with that.
Okay, so my name is Shauna Fannin, and although I've got such an English accent, I am born and bred South African. I was having a really funny discussion with my brothers the other day where I said, it's an interesting scenario when you use where you've been born, which was Springs.
No judging.
No judging at all. As an icebreaker and rapport, and it's just been so wonderful to just kind of encapsulate that.
Well, it is kind of hard when you're sort of trying to join the dots, right? Yeah. My first thinking is Irish, somewhere there, and then you land me a Springs.
I know. Well, anyway, I think it's really important because I am born and bred South African, and sometimes I get comments from people that say, yeah, but you can't make these comments about South Africa. And there's no, I love South Africa, but just like, should you move your money offshore? They say, well, you're foreign, so what do you know? And I want you to know from the get-go, I'm South African.
Great.
And I grew up in the Eastern Cape. Finished school at Kingswood College in Grahamstown. So I was there. The reason for my Pansy accent is my family's originally from Natal, and I studied a BCom to accounting science degree. And then I went and lived in London for a while. I hated the weather. I loved London, hated the weather. So I was there for about 3 years. And whilst I was there, I worked at HSBC on the securities desk. And then, how did I get into finance or go back to finance, really, or into this particular journey that I'm on? I think it had a lot to do with my travels to Argentina. I had a partner who lived there, and I used to go back and forth fairly frequently. And I was there when the peso crashed against the dollar.
Right.
And that was quite hectic, actually, because the way people protest in Argentina is they run through the streets banging pots and pans together. And overnight, people just lost thousands, millions, because the government changed the policy about how you could access your bank account. I'm really keeping it quite short, but it had such an effect on me, and I couldn't believe that you could lose money so fast because somebody had changed the decision. It never really hit home prior to that. So I came back to South Africa, and I thought, I want to join a firm where we can change people's lives. And I think that kind of set up things for Athena, really, because I wanted to have a way of helping people to control their own finances.
So just to take a step back, you then came back and joined Carrick?
That's right. I came back and joined Carrick.
And Carrick is?
So Carrick Wealth is a wealth advisory firm, a private wealth advisory firm. And what we specialize in doing is structuring wealth offshore. And I'll probably speak later to why that's so important. And I've been with Carrick since 2014.
A long time. Did you get the watch for long service?
No.
Mental note.
Yeah, mental note. So Carrick Wealth is the holding company of Carrick Athena.
Right.
I'm managing director of Carrick Athena, and that is a wealth advisory for women by women.
Stunning.
Yeah. And why did we step into that? And I'm kind of going away from who am I, but I think it really comes to who I am fundamentally. I woke up one morning and I realized that the only reason I have the life that I do is because there are so many women who've gone before me and done the most incredible things who've given me the life that I have. I have a vote. I have a bank account. I can live alone. I can make my own decisions. I've got money. I'm all of these things, and I'm very fortunate.
Mm. And in a very small category of people.
In a very, very, very tiny category of people. Yes. But it also made me realize that I'm in a wonderful position where I can start to change lives, and I can actually change that story for other women through building a wealth advisory for women. So that's where that sprang from, was right. This, how do we give back? And it's so interesting because women, you know, we're socialized to nurture.
Yes.
Everything in us speaks to that. I don't think we can override it. I mean, I keep telling people we're hardwired to it, you know, like take care of your family, take care of your dog, take care of this, take care of that.
Yes.
And I think maybe in the future, you know, should I have had kids, which I don't, but should I have had kids, I would imagine my granddaughter might be able to override that. But I don't think that women that are adults at the moment can. We socialize to nurture, and every decision we make is around that, taking care of other people.
And I guess also rewarded for it.
Totally, right? Rewarded
so
for it.
We don't do what doesn't work.
Yeah.
But I think we are so rewarded when we nurture that it just becomes almost that self-fulfilling prophecy of carry on, because it works.
Yeah, exactly. But in that, what happens is that we sometimes don't take care of ourselves, you know. We don't take care of our own finances. We don't take care of making sure that we've got enough for ourselves. And that's kind of where the idea of Carrick Athena started, was looking at, well, how do we change the story? Why aren't we putting enough money away for ourselves? Why don't we have control over our own finances? Why don't we know what's going on with the family decisions at the family financial decision-making table? So really starting to unpack that and look at it. And it's a huge subject. There's so many different types of women. There's so many different areas of finance that we need to cover.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
Because I think there's two ways to sort of look at this. There's the one narrative of others first, and I'm the nurturer and I take care of. There's the narrative of I don't know what I don't know. Mm. And then there is this feeling that I don't have enough, and should I want to invest, it would almost be a luxury that I can't afford. And so rather than exclude people who feel right off the bat, well, that's not me, I can't afford it, I think it would be important to be able to address the category of person who feels like, this is not me. Mm. You know, I can hardly make my own homework.
Mm, absolutely. And I think that's, yeah, really a very good observation, actually, because many women that I meet think they fall into that category,
yeah.
Right? And there are people that definitely do fall into that category. But what we tend to do is we tend to say, no, I don't understand. I don't understand maths. I don't have the ability. I don't have any money, but, you know, all these things. And so what I've tried to do with Carrick Athena is break down finance into just really straightforward, like,
yay,
this is how it works. There's nothing exciting about it. There's no, like, funniness about it. It's super accessible. And a large portion of that comes to helping people understand budgets, like, where's your money going? So you don't have any money. Why don't you have any money? You don't have any money because you probably don't have an emergency account. And if you had an emergency account that covered 3 to 6 months worth of your expenses, then every time something odd popped up, you'd have the cash for it. But you don't. And so what you do is you go and get a bank loan, you go and get an overdraft, you go and get a credit card, and you start to go into debt. And that debt is super, super expensive.
And spiraling.
And spiraling. And why is it spiraling? Because, just to give you a quick idea here, if you have a bank savings account at 5% and you have debt at 22%, you're not going to be able to save enough to cover that. So when people say, I don't have enough money, they don't have an emergency account for when things pop up. And then they also live beyond their means. So what I teach people is break it down. Understand the rule of 50, 30, 20. 50% goes to needs. 30% goes to wants. I want a coffee. I want a home. I want a holiday. I want is a big one. And that's where we overspend. And 20% goes to future you. And if you find that your 50% of needs is actually 80%, you're confusing wants with needs. You should stop shopping at expensive supermarkets who shall not be named.
I was just going to insert there, but okay.
So really understanding where you are, because you should always have enough for yourself. You're living beyond your means, and that's when you don't have money. So it's really looking at, well, how do we break this down? Why don't women have money? Why don't people have money? You know, why is that happening? And make sure that we start to fit into that category.
So if I had to sort of just summarize what you're just saying, is that it's not that we can't cater to everybody, but what we are effectively saying is that lack of an emergency fund is somewhat in our control when we understand that ratio of 50-30-20, and we control those immediate impulsive buys, those wants, a little bit better, because ironically, if that is secured now, you're securing a future that's going to allow you better options and opportunities.
Exactly.
So that impulsivity versus a little bit of restraint for a long-term goal and future.
Yeah, absolutely.
And is that often compared to people who don't know about that impulse buy versus the long-term reward?
I don't even know if it's really that. I mean, I think it's like, life is about living, right? I'm not all about finance, just go save your whole salary and that be the end of. I'm about saying, understand what you're trying to achieve here.
Got right? you. So outcome clear.
Yeah, exactly. The outcome is clear. And the outcome is, these are certain expenses that I can't do without, right? It's medical aid, it's rates and taxes, it's whatever it is. These are things that I would like to have. It's going on holiday, it's going for a party, it's whatever it may be. Mm. And this is money I must have for the future. Future me money. That's the person you'll be when you can no longer work, 20%. Nice. And when you section it up like that, it doesn't matter how much you're earning. You could be earning R1 billion, you could be earning R100,000. If you section it up like that and you live accordingly, and I understand not everybody has the means. I mean, I'm fully aware of the different types of people in this world. But for the majority of people who are probably listening to this podcast, it's going to apply to you. If you start living accordingly like that, if you start understanding that rule, you're going to have enough. And then from there, it's going, okay, well, now that I understand about having enough, what am I trying to achieve? And what are we trying to achieve? I mean, what is the point of Carrick Athena? The point of Carrick Athena is to give women the pen to write their own financial story. We've lived a life. Things have happened. It didn't maybe work out the way we thought it did. Maybe it's working out better than we thought it did. That you have the power within you. You are the wealth that you're waiting for. You have everything you need to create this life that you want.
Can I just say hallelujah, girl? The reason I'm saying this is because, you know, in my capacity as a coach, I think one of the toughest conversations is when I find women in a situation where, in spite of or despite the worst situation they're in, they can't get out because of finances. Mm. They got comfortable in a relationship where they were so codependent that when it is at its worst, and I've seen some shocking scenarios, they have no choices.
Yeah.
Because that codependency is so strong.
Yeah.
And there's no wealth creation, and certainly not enough to escape what would be a shocking situation.
Definitely. And that emergency fund speaks to that. I mean, if you have children, and most specifically daughters, that is the first thing you teach them. Have 3 months. There's going to be a situation that arises that you don't want to tell somebody else about, but you need to get out. And that money needs to be there.
I just want to stop there. You spoke about children. You know, I'm hoping at some point you'll touch on a little bit of the education of finance that creates generational wealth.
Yeah.
In terms of the example that you set, and in terms of how you actually advocate for that within the home, because that's those child forming habits, I guess, have the longevity and the long lasting effect into how we are as women. And often what we saw modeled in the home is what we tend to believe is the way, or the right way. Yeah. Without the question being asked.
That is such an excellent point. And I think that you know, whether you have children or not, we tend to mirror ourselves on people.
Sure.
You know, and habits, and good habits that are clearly working out. Mm. Sometimes you can mirror bad habits as well, but in your head you sort of think they're working out.
and we don't question it, right?
No, we're like, hooray.
It's the power of that intentionality, isn't it?
Absolutely. So I think with regards to children, and I think with regards to women education and financial education, you don't be scared of it. So many women go, oh my goodness, it's just not my interest, and I'm, you know, I find it so boring. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, it massively impacts your life, and it's going to impact your children's lives. And they're growing up in a difficult world.
Yeah.
So empower them, you know, teach them these little life hacks, really, to get them there, to make it easy for them.
Just to sort of illustrate that point, I have a 17-year-old daughter, and last night she was talking to me about car finance and home, and, you know, she made a statement and going, well, you know, will I be able to afford car payments? Will I be able to afford my own house? And I think the narrative for these children is quite sad, in the sense that there's this sort of feeling of there won't be affordability and the way the economy is going. And I believe that this advocacy of empowerment is what everyone should be teaching, what we should be living, so that there is at least a hope and there is a way forward, as opposed to sort of this deficit of I'll never afford it, or poor dad mentality.
No, absolutely. I think you're 100% right there. And it is up to us to start teaching our children to do those things. But I think the other side of financial education is or literacy or understanding or basically just being active is not just about this idea, you know, because when I start talking about Carrick Athena, I quite often feel like we're on the back foot, like we're going, yeah, but you know, my husband's got all the money and so I don't have any power. Yeah. And I don't think that's entirely true. I mean, sometimes it is, of course, but the more women that I meet, actually, the more women are actually running the family finances. And then it's about, okay, well, do you understand how to leverage this? You know, so do you understand the other side of it? So let's certainly encourage women to get invested. Let's teach them how it works. But the other side of it is making sure that you're leveraging things like offshore investments. Do you understand why offshore is so important? And that's something I'm really going to delve into in our masterclass.
And I also just want to speak about the fact that this would include somebody who might be single.
Yeah.
This would include somebody who might be in a partnership or cohabitation of some sort where they are aware and they're able to sort of break down their part, how they join money, how they work their money, so that they're empowered with whatever relationship bias is present for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, I did a talk earlier this week on exactly that. You know, how do you approach people in relationships who are maybe a bit difficult and don't want to tell you certain bits of information? Mm. And I spend a lot of time thinking about that. And, you know, if I was in a relationship like that, how would I go about it? And that rule of 50-30-20 is so simple, but the magic is in its simplicity, because that rule of 50-30-20 speaks to exactly that. How do you split up the family finances? Honey, I know that our salaries combined are X, whatever, 100,000, 200, doesn't really matter, it's your figure. But that money that's coming in, I know that if we're spending 50% here and we've got 20% for our future, we've got 30% to go on holiday with.
Got you.
And just by doing that, you suddenly have a seat at the financial decision-making table. And why is that important? Because 74% of women die single. We're outliving men by 5 to 7 years. We are going to inherit the family finances.
5 to 7 years, it's extensive.
Yeah, we need to know what's going on. So that conversation is imperative.
Right.
Whether you're single, whether you're not. And the way I approach finance is, you are your own person. You need to think about it from your own perspective. And you might be sharing it with somebody, you know, and that's perfectly fine. How do we have that conversation? Well, we then start to unpack, where are we wanting to go? And ideally, we all want to be financially free. We don't want to work. We want to choose to work. We want to have the options and choices to do whatever we want to do. So the idea of financial freedom and the way I present it is really just, if you have a bag of money, right, and you put all of your investments into that bag of money, and if you could invest it and it could generate enough for you to live off on a month-by-month basis, well, then you'd be financially free, right? You would never be running into your savings. So then you're great. You're absolutely good to go. And why do you want to get there? Because money is actually power, right? It gives you the options and choices to leave relationships you shouldn't be in, build a business, buy a house, get your kids through school, have some fun, walk away.
The power of choice.
The power of choice, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's in terms of a single person versus somebody in a relationship and trying to figure out how finance works, it works in the same way. Just because you're married or in a relationship or not doesn't change the fact that you need to be in control of your own money. You need to be making those decisions.
I'm still stuck on the stat, right?
I know.
It's crazy for me.
It's mind-blowing.
And what you're saying is that's leaving widows. And possibly also, I guess, divorced people.
Yeah.
In very, very precarious situations.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I certainly know of some women who are left. The tragedy, the grief can only be surpassed by the financial lack and their inability to know what's next for their lives. So it's not just, you know, the impact of the death or the loved one. It's the impact of that their future and their financial stability is now as crushed as the memory and the hurt and the pain that they're going through grieving.
Definitely. And I think, I mean, well said, all of that, because I think that's what happens, especially with death. You know, I mean, team of two became a team of one. That is just, and that happens with divorce as well, right? You're suddenly like, okay, this has ended.
I'm on my own.
Yeah. And how am I going to deal with that? You know, and it's almost like you don't have time to grieve, whether it's the grief of somebody who's passed or it's the grief of the end of a relationship. You know, that grief is still there. Sure. And when money is a problem, which it is for most of those cases, certainly in divorce, but quite often in death as well, people freeze and they don't know what to do. And that's where I think understanding simple factors like where to invest your money and how that works. And I'd like to share one now, sure, if that's right. So a lot of widows that I meet, you know, their husband passes away, and let's assume it's a husband in this case, and they end up with this huge amount of money, or maybe not so big, but anyway, there's...
Depends how much you were loved.
Yeah, exactly. Terms and conditions apply. But they end up with these funds in their account, and they're grieving. So they just put everything into a bank account and, you know, hope that it's going to be okay. Because a bank account is safe, right? And sure, the bank always takes care of you. And they call you once a year and they go, how's it going, Venetia? And are you going on holiday this year? And can we help you? No, the bank doesn't do that.
Correct.
Right.
I was going to say, do you get calls like that?
No. I mean, shout out to my financial advisor. No, I'm kidding.
That annual call.
I know. No, she's great, actually. Anyway, but they put everything into a bank account. So why is that a problem? Because if I have to work on the scenario of a bag of wealth generating me enough to live off on a month-by-month basis, then I need to make sure that that bag of wealth is growing enough interest in order for me to generate that income, if that makes sense. Okay, so if I've got my money in a bank account of 5% and inflation is 6%, that's the cost of living.
Right.
That means my bag of wealth is growing at 5% a year, but I'm losing 6% in inflation. So my bag of wealth is growing at -1.
Automatic deficit.
I'm going to run out of money. And that's what happens. So understanding basic principles like that. I mean, that's not difficult to understand.
Sure.
Understanding that and then knowing where to go from there is really, really important and makes all the difference.
So let's use the narrative. Person A and B, they've lost a partner.
Yeah.
They've inherited some money in the passing. The natural progression would be put in a bank account, perception of safe. The analogy you use is that the inflation outweighs the interest.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do?
They sit down and they talk to a financial advisor. And the reason why they do that is because, I mean, they can talk to a trusted person as well. But the reason they want to potentially talk to an advisor or have a team of advisors that they can refer to is because somebody needs to carefully craft what's going to be put into that bag of wealth. Because if we take that analogy and I've put it in a bank account, then my bag of wealth, my little bag with the dollar sign on it, is currently a bank, which is fine, you know, but it's not enough. So now I need to start looking and going, well, how am I going to build up the various elements that go into this bag of wealth? Should I take my money offshore? And if I do take it offshore, where should I put it? Should I put it in a bank account? Should I put it into some funds? Should I structure it? How does it need to work? And it's not a straightforward answer because it's very dependent on who you are and what you're wanting, who this money is supposed to be left to afterwards. Are they dependent children? All of those things. So I hate depends as an answer to your question. Mm. But essentially what that person should be doing is making sure that whatever they've invested it in is beating inflation. It's beating rand appreciation. And just a note on rand appreciation, because we don't realize it as South Africans. But right now we're in a studio, it's an amazing studio, and everything around us is imported. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, everything around you is imported. We live at a country at the bottom of the world. So if we can't keep up with foreign buying power, if your iPhone is bought offshore, which it will be, if you can't keep up with that, you're not going to be able to afford it. You're going to eat into your savings. So having money offshore, beating rand appreciation, beating inflation and beating the tax liability that will be there is what they should do.
So I want to speak to this, and it certainly is a perception, but I certainly know of a lot of women specifically who do not trust financial advice.
Mm.
And they don't trust financial advisors because sadly it is, you know, you almost get this feeling that they don't have your own vested interest at heart.
Yeah.
They're going to follow prescriptive financial advice that perhaps their firm represents. How do you sort of, if there was a checklist for who you can trust, what should you be taking into account when you are working with a financial advisor?
Good
that
question.
Clarifies and sort of takes away this feeling of, can I trust you?
Yeah.
You're so vulnerable.
Yeah.
You're in such a vulnerable situation.
Certainly.
And let's be frank, you know, you are really putting so much of your financial power and your choices in someone else's hands.
Yeah, exactly. And well said, actually. And I think I just want to add to that. Why should you not potentially just remain loyal endlessly to your one financial advisor? Because I find that a lot.
Oh, the loyalty card.
I know.
He has sent me birthday cards for 10 years.
I know.
I can't leave him.
No, exactly. So I think it needs to be somebody who speaks to you and not at you. If you feel like you don't understand what's going on in your finances, then you don't understand what's going on with your finances. And you need to find someone who's going to speak rather plain and simply, not because you're an idiot, just because some of these, it's like the finance industry created an enormous amount of jargon that barely anybody can access, right? Unless you're really involved in the finance world. And that's so unnecessary, actually.
You remind me of that ad, and if you're young enough or old enough to remember that ad where the guy was, you know, talking about macchiato, and she turned, she was like, I love it when you speak foreign.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that ad? Which was a bias on South African culture, I guess.
So if someone's speaking foreign to you.
foreign.
Then maybe rope it back in. So I think that's first and foremost. Mm. It needs to be someone that you're comfortable with. The fact that your husband or your father or your brother or whoever it is, it doesn't have to just be a male person, it could be, it doesn't matter, friend, mother, it doesn't matter. But the fact that somebody else works well with this person doesn't mean you have to, right?
So there can be differences.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. I mean, it's personality differences, sure. Right? And I think it needs to be somebody who breaks it down for you. So why is there this distrust in the financial services industry? There's this distrust because, firstly, there's this jargon. There's people speaking foreign who aren't explaining things in a way that makes sense. So you are
intimidated.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not in a position to. You feel like you're not in a position to make an educated decision. And I think that's the problem. Is that you go, sure, I'm really not sure. So I'm just going to trust you, but it doesn't actually feel right. And then it turns out that it isn't right. And then you beat yourself up about it because you go, you know, it didn't feel right. And I'm not just talking about gut feeling. You can make sense of it. And that's why understanding simple concepts, somebody's going to explain simple concepts is really important. Someone who's going to talk to your situation, who's going to find out about your specific situation. A moment ago, I mentioned the bank, you know, calling you and finding out about what your plans for the future were and, you know, whether they could help you craft a very careful plan to help you reach that wonderful future. It doesn't happen.
No.
Okay, because the banks, that's not what their industry is. But that's who your financial advisor should be. They should be sitting down and going, who are you? And how do I help you?
So question, is this something or a level of engagement you should have before you have a situation that is not in your control, i.e. death or divorce, or do you advocate that is something you engage in afterwards? And I guess option three, when you are of the position where you do have that extra financial assistance.
Yeah, great question.
What's the right timing? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think immediately, like start, and that's the big thing, is we live in a world that is vastly controlled by finance, right? So this idea that I don't care about money and it doesn't really matter to me, and I'm not asking you to take on money as a hobby. Okay, I'm not asking you to learn to knit. What I am asking you to do is understand how this thing, money, impacts you. And that doesn't have to be terrifying. So so you need to engage with it fast and soon and immediately. Why? Because you need to save for your future. You can't be one of these people who thinks, you know, I'll be fine, I'll just figure it out as I get old. That doesn't work. And I have people walk into my office all the time who've got R1 million for the next 40 years. That's not a strategy. That's a failure. And it's a problem. And you've got to fix it. It's really scary that. So do you wait until you've got some money? No, you figure out where you're going to make those savings. You engage and go, how do I start saving? How do I cut back on my expenses? Help me figure this out because I don't understand it, right? And I want to understand it so that I can go further. And then you start crafting a plan. So what I do with my clients is I sit down and I say, right, let's figure out your roadmap to financial freedom. We know where we've got to get you. You've got to have 10 million rand, 20 million rand by the time you retire. Currently, you've got 1 rand 56. So how do we start building that? Mm. You know, okay, well, maybe you need another job, or maybe you should not have rental up for whatever it is. So work out how to get you there. Work out how to get your kids through school. Work out your plan and then check in with you every quarter and see, where are we? You know, we need to up our plan here by another 10,000 rand. We need to increase this. We need to take more money offshore and start building that up. So, no, don't wait. But
can I just comment on that? Because I think 99% of the time, the biggest problem is that people don't want to face what they feel like can't.
Yeah.
Or they'd rather not know.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my experience, that has been the worst case scenario. When you're in absolute denial, or you don't want to know, or you'd rather figure this out when you're desperate.
Yeah.
Rather than give yourself the gain of a proactivity, or proactivity, and for that matter, a goal that you're working towards. It might not be your now situation, but you'll never fix what you won't own.
Exactly.
And you'll never change what you we're at if you're choosing to stay in the blind.
Exactly. And it's exactly that. You know, maybe, I mean, it's kind of like losing weight, right? You're like, okay, well, let's do my deal weight. I'll start on it next Monday. So, but I think with finances, it's also about knowing, knowing where you've got to go really lights a fire. In terms of trying to get there. So understanding that, and then you can choose. You can choose, okay, well, actually, no, I'm not gonna save towards that. But it's a bit more real than losing weight, you know, because it's kind of like there's a bit of a sledgehammer.
So what you're saying is you are the personal trainer of finances. Yeah. You're the one saying another 5 reps, 2 lunges.
Exactly.
And you, thou shalt squat. are you telling me that's who you are?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Afraid so.
We can't escape them.
Masquerading as an Irish, yeah, from Springs. Yeah, but I also wanted to speak to the other side of that question that you asked, which was, do I wait until something, life's pivotal moment has happened? Yes. I've divorced and I'm widowed, recently widowed, and I actually don't know what to do. Or what I find as well is I'm probably approaching widowhood, and I'm terrified. You know, that is also a fine time to engage with someone. Like, don't, like, what I want to create with Carrick Athena, and what I would really love with this world, is to create a team of advisors that my clients can go and approach. You know, here's a trusted divorce attorney. Here's a trusted financial advisor. Here's a trusted therapist. Because I feel as women, we quite often don't have our team behind us. You know, maybe you're a C-suite professional negotiating your shares in a big company. How do you do that? And who do you turn to? So you stand there and you think, I'll just research more and more and more and hope they don't figure out I don't know what I'm doing, you know?
It's so interesting. I was actually going to say to you, what about the positive side? What about somebody who's just been given a great increase?
Yeah.
Bonuses, a payout of shares. What about those people,
yeah,
you know, who've been given access to something? And,
yeah,
you know, it's great and it's in their hands, but what they do with it almost makes that gift keep on giving.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, there's two things there. I mean, for the average Joe, I think it's about making sure that they've, once again, reached their roadmap to financial freedom. It's so boring, but it is so simple because, and that's why I like it. So they're on track and they're definitely going to get there. Let's talk about, so should that happen, you've got an increase, it's making sure that you're on track. But now let's assume that you're way on track, right? And there's more than enough money and that's really, really great. So what do? You know, firstly, whether it's passing on wealth to children, so estate planning or legacy, how do you go about doing that? What's the most efficient way of doing that? How do you make sure that your kids are ready to receive that wealth and know what to do with it? That's really, really important. But then there's also philanthropy and impact investing. And talking to women being nurturers, we are fascinating. Every decision, every single decision we make stems from nurturing. And it's just mind blowing. I couldn't believe that when I first read that. And it really feeds through down to how we invest. We prefer to invest in things that'll have an impact on others, you know. So if it's going to better off somebody, would far rather invest in that than maybe an oil refinery.
Sure.
And that seems quite logical, but it's really amazing. It influences all of our decisions. So in terms of knowing what to invest in and understanding which of those investments, if you are a philanthropist, that all forms part of it as well. There's many different lives and ways we've chosen to live, and there's many different influences on those lives. There's religion, there's cultural, there's a lot of different things. There's a lot of different types of women influenced by very, very different things. And having money and having control of your money doesn't detract from any of those.
Sure.
At all. You're entitled to control your own money, and you're entitled to have your own money. And sometimes that's going to be very difficult, but that doesn't remove your entitlement to it.
Can I also say you're not going to change anything if you're not empowered?
Exactly. And I think, and where I wanted to go as well with that was that women who are married, who are taking care of kids at home, you have a very important part to play. And somebody described a marriage as a financial contract to me. And there's two departments. There's the finance department and there's the operations department. And the finance department cannot function without the operations department, and vice versa. So whichever department you're running, know that it's important. Know that there is value in that. But you're still entitled to control the amount that you need within that to run your life, you know. As if you were running a company, you would still have your salary to do what you want to with it.
Got it.
And I like that about the 50-30-20 rule. So if you apply that in your family situation and you start using that, it means that everybody has sovereignty or ownership over their own money. It means that they have the power to go out and, I don't know, blow it on drinks or go and buy new shoes or whatever they want to. But they're not ruining the family's finances, the needs have been taken care of, the future you's been taken care of, the wants are taken care of. So it's a really nice and simple rule to touch base and go back to.
And it speaks to almost that organic cycle, you know, talk about management, where if you start right, you don't almost have to fight right. You know, you fight right. And what I mean by that is that a lot of, you know, statistically, a lot of partnerships, relationships, marriages break up because of finance.
Yeah.
And it's because that very, very interesting setup, startup conversation is not had because you're so overcome by your feelings that you forget that there's a factual implication to this partnership.
Absolutely.
That really does need and warrants discussion, right?
Definitely.
You often have people who just didn't see this coming. Mm. And that being the nail on the coffin, the thing that really ended it.
Mm.
And if it's in your control, to your point, and you're empowered, then it's a whole different story.
Definitely.
So, Carrie Kathina, what essentially do you offer? And then what I'd love to talk to you about is I'd like to share, for those who don't know, we have the privilege of having Shauna actually represent Carrick at our masterclass at the Women's Day event on the 1st of August.
Excited.
So for all of you who are gagging, saying, I want more, I need more, well, this lady will be there and she will proudly be representing Carrick Kathina as MD, but also in her capacity and her passion that she unwaveringly has for a subject that is so important and one we don't necessarily want to put our hands up for.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
Thank you.
And without giving too much away, let's just talk about what they could almost expect should they be attending this masterclass.
So what can you expect? It's not going to be boring. I promise you it's a very engaging talk. It'll change the way you think about money. I said at one of my seminars, I said, this talk will change your life. And this lady came up to me and she was like, you know, Shauna, when you said that, I really rolled my eyes. I thought, oh, crikey, here we go again. And then she said, but it did. You know, it completely changed everything. So it's a talk about changing the way you think about money, understanding it simply and knowing how to go forward, and then practical steps as to what to do. That sounds deathly boring, but it'll completely change the way you interact with every aspect of your life. And it's simple and it's relatable and it's straightforward, and hopefully I'll be humorous. We'll see.
I'm going to hold you to that for those who like you need that comedic break. In what position should I be in to have this be a consideration? Is this for a divorcee, a widowed lady, somebody who's single? Who do you think is the most inclusive audience for this?
I mean, everybody. It's women. Right. This is aimed at women. It's Carrick Athena is a wealth advisory for women by women. And I was saying to somebody else yesterday, you know, there's this underlying thing about a sisterhood, and I really don't like using sisterhood because it's kind of so overused. But it is that if I say that to another woman, there's a whole bunch of things that tie into that. Mm. We know, you know, and that's it. We know. Mm. I know. Mm. And it's talking to that. Who are we as women? Where are we? How do we access this? And an open platform. Like, it's so easy to just step out and go, I don't know how this works, you know. And with that, and what you asked me, what do we do? What do we offer? We create tools to create financial freedom for you.
Let's talk about Carrick Athena. Mm-hmm. So to summarize in this masterclass, anybody can be attending because your situation is fluid. It can change at any given moment. Knowledge is key, preparation is everything, and at best you walk away with a good cup of coffee and some humor. But what if you walk away fully informed and empowered, and that single decision-making process can actually change your life to your point?
Yeah.
And you might miss out because you have this concept that it's not for you or you don't need to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I would encourage anybody. I think that this platform of choice and ability to be financially aware is the greatest way you can serve yourself.
Mm.
And I love how you spoke about it's women. And, you know, sometimes that knowing allows me to be vulnerable.
Mm.
And it allows me to go, I don't know, but I'm going to listen because I can see that you relate.
Yeah.
And I think that relationship around that sisterhood, you so-called, it's powerful. And
it
gives me an open door to feel like, you know, I'm intrusive or just feel like I don't want to be intimidated, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Definitely. And I really hope and I mean, the feedback that I've got is it is a platform where you can just feel relaxed, put up your hand and go, you know, I've got this situation where blah, 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 and this is how it works, you know, and to talk through it really simply, straightforward, whatever it is.
So, Carrick Athena, mm-hmm. you're the MD of Carrick Athena. What's very clear to me is your passion. I love it. Clear to me is why. I call Carrick Athena. What can I expect?
You can expect me, firstly, to listen to you and to hear your story. I really believe there's power in that. Who are you? What is your story in your words? And then to break it down and go, okay, great. Well, where are we on this road? And how do we start unpacking this? How do I make it better for you? Which part of this financial story do I need to address? And how do I unpack that simply, easily, and in a straightforward fashion? And that's really where we start is understanding your journey, helping you to understand your journey on the roadmap to financial freedom. Whether you're starting out or whether you've got, you know, lump sums of cash but you are not really sure if they're working, you've kind of got a feeling that they aren't. Maybe you're holding all of your assets in your own name and you shouldn't be. You should definitely be structuring it. But maybe you're also just somebody who's terrified of offshore and you're wanting to know, well, how do I start doing that? So we have a conversation about that. I find out where we are on this roadmap, where you are wanting to get to, what we're trying to achieve. And then we start to build investments, structures that work for you, that you understand. So it is still the finance industry. You're still going into investments. You're still going into structures. But they're things that you understand. And they're things that mitigate those risks of rand appreciation, inflation, and taxation. That's what I focus on.
And to be correct, this is not for when you are there.
No.
This is connected to where your goal is.
Yes.
And your sense of awareness.
Yes.
And your handbrake moment to go, I will no longer live in denial.
Yeah.
Because if there's a way that I can structure this better,
yeah.
or there is a way that I can be more informed, I'm going to put my hand up and do this.
Absolutely.
So we're not excluding
somebody
who might not be in a wealth capacity.
No.
We're rather including somebody who has a goal-based outcome and wants to be fully empowered.
Exactly. It's about reinventing your life, you know, and finding a way forward. And I think that speaks to a lot of people when they sit down and they think, should I maybe go to this masterclass? Shouldn't I? I'm not so sure. Are you reinventing your life? And what's going to have the biggest impact on that?
Sure.
It's probably going to be finance.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. And I am somebody who has a lot to learn myself, so might be sneaking in there.
Okay, good.
I'm so excited to have you. And like I said, it's been such a pleasure to speak to you. And more so, to just see a passion ooze. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't think you can fake it. It's bad news for most men, but, you know, very, very hard to fake passion. They always say, what came first, purpose or passion? In my opinion, passion.
Yeah.
I think it feels purpose. Mm. I'm so excited, as I said, to have you at our masterclass at the Resonant Women event on the 1st of August. Watch the space. It's going to be amazing. Last question.
Yes.
Actually, I have two. My second question that I want to ask you is, if I knew nothing about finance, and you could sum up what I should know in one word, what did you say?
One word?
Well, I'm gonna give you a sentence. I'll give you a sentence. What did you say?
Okay. Have a plan, really. I mean, it's not really that. I want to say, understand your roadmap to financial freedom. And I know I've carried on and on and on about it, but honestly, it solves everything, right? Because it takes into account controlling your money, knowing how it works, understanding, but also... This isn't a women's lib exercise, right?
Sure.
This is working with your partner and going,
yes.
Yeah, I'm an active contributor of this and I want to do this. Or you don't have a part. It doesn't matter. You have money, you don't have money. It all speaks to the same thing. But having control and knowing where you are and getting there.
Reminds me of the analogy of, you know, you want to build a building, but you don't have a blueprint.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, people always go, what came first, the foundation? No. The blueprint.
Yeah.
You're right. If the foundation's not going to matter, you need that blueprint. And that's what you're echoing and saying, get the blueprint.
Yeah.
From there forth, springs the building, springs the future, springs everything.
I just want to throw in something there, and that is have an open mind, you know. Quite often I have people come to me and they're like, well, I've invested in property, and then they listen, but they're actually like, well, I'm just going to stick with property, even though it might not be the best choice for you. Maybe it is. But have an open mind, you know.
You're so right. It's that confirmation bias, right?
Yeah.
I want to be right.
I know.
Not necessarily to grow and learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop the confirmation bias already. It's been such a pleasure having you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I have loved
sharing this with you. And I've, you know, Shona Fannin.
That's me.
From Springs, Cape Town now.
It was always a secret, but now.
It's out.
I know.
How do we get hold of you?
So you can reach me at carrick-athena.com, and we're available there. We also have an Instagram handle, Carrick Athena. We're on LinkedIn, Carrick Athena, surprisingly.
All right.
So all of those places.
Awesome, awesome. So good to have you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you too.
Looking forward to seeing you at the masterclass.
Very excited.
And have a great day.
And you too. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.